This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
If they're in Hollywood, they would be gone. No? What is it?
I don't know what it is.
I think it's a turkey ham sandwich.
No, that one's got something else going on. It doesn't look bad. I just don't know what it is. No, not that one.
Tuna.
All right. I think the music's soft enough that I can edit around it in case. But I think we're fine.
Great.
We're good. All right. So, if I could get you both to grab your mics.
Okay.
Well,
chew, man.
How's that good?
Yeah, you're perfect.
Is this okay? If it's right here?
Does yes, that... I think I can
yeah,
manage.
Yeah, that way we can.
That. You
wonderful.
Guys are tired. You've been doing this all day.
Oh, we've been. Yeah. No, we're okay. We'll come. We come alive when we go live.
All right. Just say when, and I'm good to go.
I'm ready. You ready? Oh, he's eating.
All right, let's go.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganampake Pagan, and on the show today I will be playing you an interview that I did with the showrunner and one of the stars of Narcos Mexico. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Singapore for a preview of Netflix's Asia Pacific slate, and I managed to sit down for a little while with Eric Newman and Michael Pena for a conversation about this soft reboot that they decided to do for season 4. We were inside one of those hotel conference rooms, so I beg you to bear with the poorer-than-usual acoustics and random elevator jazz that's playing in the background. Guys, congratulations on season 4. I've seen the first 5 episodes, and I've enjoyed it a lot.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And let me tell you right off the bat, the best thing about the first 3 seasons of Narcos was it taught me how to cuss in new ways.
Yes. Mm. Well, that was really the goal of the show. Was we didn't care to go beyond that. We just hoped that we could introduce profanity to far corners of the world.
Yeah, you know how TV is commercials with TV shows built around it? This is cuss words with a show built around it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There were people in Malaysia learning all kinds of new lingo.
Wonderful.
It was fantastic.
Wonderful.
Tell me this, though. Michael, with you, tell me about your character and his motivations.
This hot jazz is just
it's killing
messing
right with
now.
Your mind. It's messing
it's
the
like,
vibe.
It's like, tell me about how the show is.
Yeah. It's like...
You know what? My show's called At the Movies. I think we'll change it up. We'll call it Smooth Jazz for Seductive Nights, right? That's what
this
is now.
Yeah.
Smooth Jazz for Seductive Nights.
Tell me, Harold, how do you feel? WGCI 107.5, the Weekly Hits. Up next, we have Narcos, starring Mike Peña, Diego Luna. Tell me, how was it?
Tell you about Kiki? Well, it was really interesting, and actually, I was really happy to play this character, especially after doing, you know, some comedy or some humor, however you want to look at it. What was cool is, and also which led me into a panic, is that he seemed like a man that was very determined, very focused on accomplishing his tasks at hand, you know. And I kept asking, like, what made him tick? Why would somebody do this? And then when I talked to Mika Camarena and Jaime Kirkendall, they told me that that's the way he was. You know, he was a guy that didn't like injustice, that wanted to see the bad guy go down, and that, you know, if he didn't, it would just bug him. He couldn't sleep, and it just ate at him, and so he had to make things happen, and he had to be proactive about it.
And a question for the both of you, why is Kiki, why is that character so important in 2018 when it feels like there are no grand heroes intent on doing the right thing? And I think that's why superhero movies kind of appeal, because that's our escape into this world where everyone just wants to do the right thing.
It's something of a Western, you know, and I grew up loving Westerns because often there was a character at the center of the Western that had a code that actually could not abide something that was going on that would hurt someone or something he cared about. I think that Kiki Camarena was unique in that respect, and I think continues to be one of the great martyrs in the war on drugs. I think the relevance of Kiki and of the story that we've chosen to tell in Narcos Mexico season four is really the origin story of a conflict that has continued on, all these years later, and killed 500,000 people in Mexico alone. You can't really tell the story of the drug war in Mexico without telling the story of the Guadalajara cartel and Kiki Camarena.
You guys do something very interesting in Narcos, and I'm speaking about this from an outsider looking in, from a non-American looking in, from someone who's grown up watching a lot of American movies that cover this, right? I mean, more recently, of course, there's Sicario, there's American Made, Fariña is on Netflix as well. But you guys, I think, have removed the American gaze from this sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's to do with these guys. You know, he's a showrunner and like the writers were, and he brought up an interesting point that like Americans, and especially in American movies, think they're superheroes, you know what I mean? That they're untouchable.
Or it's America first.
Yeah, it's America first, yeah.
And this doesn't feel like that.
No.
No, this is very much a global show. It's designed to look at something that touches all of us. Yes, America is the largest market for drugs in the world by far, and as such has a lot of culpability in this. We don't look at America as this great heroic police force, which is sometimes the way that it sees it, itself. We look at it as a unwitting and unwilling participant in what has become a true disaster of epic proportions. And we lay blame everywhere, including looking inwards at the United States and our policies, both at home in dealing with addiction and abroad in how we, you know, throw our weight around when we feel we're threatened by something like, you know, Colombian or Mexican narcotics.
Right. Michael, there's some great action set pieces, but of course, so much of the series feels a bit like a Michael Mann movie where it's a series of tense meetings and standoffs. I'm curious as to your process, because you've got to make these moments feel like there are real stakes.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, like, for me, the biggest challenge, I think, was the exposition, where you have to, you know, obviously, like, you're propelling the story, but at the same time, it's information that you need, especially when, you know, when you're telling 10 hours, when you're involved in 10 hours of programming. So, like, to me, those were the hardest, and I wanted to make them more emotional in a way, so, like, that, you know, there's a reason why you're saying this, and there's an opinion about this material that you're talking about.
Like, even in the first episode, when you're drinking all those beers and your wife shows up and she's got a beer in her hand and she takes a sip and then she passes it on to you, I didn't know how that scene was going to play out. And
yeah.
I thought that was just really well played.
Oh, thank you. Well, that was already written. And then you try to find little moments within the moments to make it as real as possible. And, you know, it was really cool because there weren't many easy scenes, you know. But it also, like, it's challenging, and the writing was challenging, the storytelling was challenging, and it's a challenging thing to, like, kind of establish a series in this new location.
The key plot point, of course, starts off with marijuana and how it is a gateway drug to bigger drugs.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that within the context of the current conversation going on in America regarding marijuana, because, of course, it's legalized in so many places, and everyone's it's okay, it's cool, it's just pot.
That must suck for the drug dealers that are in jail right now, and they're like, now it's legal?
The reference was meant to be ironic. I don't believe that marijuana is a gateway drug in terms of its use. I think that you were either predisposed to take drugs or you're not. I think that, but in the story, very much the money that was made and the network that was built first with marijuana and heroin became repurposed for cocaine, because cocaine is the perfect product. It's worth more, you know, by weight than gold. And there is an endless appetite for cocaine in America.
Yeah.
And 1,900 miles of border between Mexico and America. And it is a, in this story, certainly very much the road to cocaine begins with marijuana. I don't feel that way about drug use, however.
One thing that the series tries to do, and it does very well, is not be preachy. Because there is a moral ambiguity with all of these characters. Talk to me about, I guess, both writing and performing these characters, resisting the urge to paint them as outright monsters or outright heroes.
I don't believe that there are good guys and bad guys in the world. I believe there are bad guys and very bad guys. I think that...
you mean with the narcos, not in the world in general.
Not the world in general, but in this world. I think the... one thing that we do in the show very well, and I think that it's a product of writing, but also a product of our the acting in our show, is that we humanize these people. I think that there's a danger, and we've seen it again and again, in separating the world, the people in the world, monsters and good people. There are no monsters. Are not. They don't spring forth from the womb. They're created by circumstances, and any monster, anyone we call a monster, can justify their actions, can explain why and how they came to be. So I think what the show does, and I think we do it quite well, is we show relatable human dimension to every character.
Because the best villains are the ones who genuinely believe that they're doing the right thing.
I like to think that everyone believes they are either the hero or the victim in their own story.
Correct.
No one ever says, God, I guess I'm the bad guy here.
Last question. Michael, is it important? I mean, because a lot of these shows, a lot of this stuff kind of blurs the line between fact and fiction. And I was wondering for you whether it was important to keep reminding people that this is real or this was real.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you read the scripts initially, like, you think, holy cow, man, I can't believe that this happened. And I would always Google it or Wikipedia it, and there would be some article about it, especially the stuff that happened to Kiki. Like, I couldn't believe that stuff really happened. And so when you're in that, you've only watched five episodes, right?
Five.
Okay, you get the next five. In the next five, there's some things that happened where I couldn't believe it did happen. And then when you get on set and you see the things that eventually played out, the way that they played out, I'm being very ambiguous, but like...
No spoilers, it's
fine. It gets into your psyche a little bit, and it definitely affects you, and it affects your performance. Because you, first of all, you can't believe that there's people out there that'll do harm the way that they do, and also that they won't even care. You know, they'll treat people like cows. And just, you know, slaughter them and do whatever they want. And so, you know, that's an eye-opener in itself.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry about the jazz.
No, that's fine. I think
that was a conversation that I had with Narcos Mexico showrunner Eric Newman and star Michael Pena. You can catch all 10 episodes on Netflix. You can also catch our At the Movies review of the series on bfm.my/movies. Check it out and let me know what you think. You can tweet me. I'm on at Umar Pagan. You've been listening to At the Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.